They have no idea. No? I tried to.
Oh shit! Okay.
I tried to give them a little bit of a.
Okay. Okay. It's fun. It's gonna be fun. Yeah.
Not only is it gonna be fun, but we have a great. If you're gonna get a first panel, like a panel for your first time seeing the show, this is a good one. So, except Chris did preemptively shit on their material earlier.
Well, that was just between us. I don't want you guys to know. It's really good.
No, it's
everything
quality.
On this paper is really good.
I'm fucking with you.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned three specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they will now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called... Stab.
This is Stab, a show like no other, which is neither a compliment nor an insult. It just is. Now, let's introduce tonight's panel. Our first panelist fully believes that we're living in a simulation of a round Earth on a server on a 6,000-year-old flat Earth. They're a fantastic writer and performer. It's Frankie Lord. Our second panelist once bit the head off a chocolate bunny when he was young and cried for days when he realized what he'd done. He's an incredible improviser. It's Chris Emery. And our third panelist collects miniature aircraft carriers. They're 1/4 scale, so still pretty big and very difficult to store. She's one of the wobbly legs on the Mom Hat Studio stool. It's Kim Martell. And I'm your host, Jesse Jones, often way more annoyed than I honestly should be. Welcome to Stab, your favorite 11 p.m. Saturday night terrestrial radio ear snack. Just tune in to KUTZ 103.1 or KUTZFM.org for all the over-the-air good. Now, let's meet tonight's panel. Frankie.
Hi.
Hi there. Oh.
Yeah.
Husky. Oh. Hey there. You've reached 1-900 Frankie. Hi.
Hi.
There you are.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm okay. I did not make a smart decision.
Okay.
I inhaled a spicy tuna roll like 3 seconds before walking into
oh,
the door.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not worldly, which is to say I don't really sushi, so that sounds not good.
No, it was delicious. It was just perhaps a little much to digest in 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, as I understand it, your digestive system is pretty long, so you've probably got time.
Sure.
Unless it's really in a hurry.
Uh-huh. I just mean
Okay.
It's taking some effort to pretend that I'm comfortable. That's it.
It's just sitting here burning.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Cool. Well... We all get to know that every time we come around to you.
Yeah.
Every time you're trying to read something,
uh-huh.
We just know there's searing pain.
Yeah, and I do like a couple of voices that really fuck up my throat, so it's just masochism night for me. Yeah.
So good. What have you been up to?
You know, vibing, applying for jobs,
just vibing. You
know. The hope is that I can leave Sacramento before the summer starts so that I don't... just bake
well,
to a crisp.
Yeah, there is always that. Trying to leave us for the Pacific Northwest.
I am. Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
remember January when I was like, oh, I'll be gone before you guys know it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's how Sacramento is. It's very difficult to leave.
Yeah. It's the quicksand of cities.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sacramento does not give up its dead easy.
Well, from like March to June... We're incapacitated with allergies, so like
that's
we
true.
Can't like no one is making any clear decisions.
Yeah, that's
yeah. It's just anarchy.
And then it's too hot during summer to move.
Yeah,
and then, I mean, fall's beautiful. So
why would you leave then?
The foliage.
Yeah, the week of fall that we have.
Yeah, the
when
week
it
of
slams
foliage.
From summer to winter. Oh, Sacramento seasons! It's gonna be like in the 70s next week at the end of May. What are we doing? Oh, October's going to be hell. well, good to have you. Glad we've been able to sneak in a couple appearances before you leave us.
Me too.
Just selfishly. but thank you. Good to have you. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up?
Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm really good, thanks.
Good. Good to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
You're keeping busy.
Yeah, I do some things. I got really sick last week and then thought I was not sick anymore, so I went to L.A. and then took my mom to a drag show on Sunday for Mother's Day, and then woke up Monday sick again.
Yeah.
The double sickness.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think it was all the body shots.
Sure.
Yeah. Not with my mom, but well, the surrounding patrons.
But, I mean, you slurp tequila out of the belly button of a go-go dancer, and you get what you deserve.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I knew what I signed up for.
Yeah. But beyond getting repeatedly sick, you perform around town.
I do, yeah.
In multiple capacities.
Do. Yeah, I do some improv, some music. Yeah. I have a 90. Are you local people here in the audience?
Yeah.
Oh.
How do you feel about late 90s, early 2000s pop songs? Huge fans.
Yeah.
No, everyone here. Okay, so I'm in a cover band, lead singer cover band, and we do "Hit Me, Baby, One More Time" as our signature piece. Oh, baby, baby. I need my whole band here. I wouldn't. Yeah, it's no acapella.
Yeah.
But yeah,
he doesn't do them acapella.
No, I need a band.
Need that beat.
I need voice modulation. Sure. I need T-Pain style. All around town. Have you? Where are you from? Where do you hail from? Oh, the Midtowns. Midtowns. Okay.
Yeah.
We played in Folsom and Roseville.
Yeah.
And Elmo Hills.
You know.
Close by on Sutter Street.
Do you have anything coming up?
Oh,
anything on the calendar?
We played the Mule in Folsom. You know the Mule in Folsom?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so big. That's why they had us play there.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No, yeah, it's just a 90s, 2000s cover band. We're called Y2Yay, like Y2K.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is my
please.
It is my midlife crisis band, so I'm very happy to be a part
Everybody
of it.
Has to have something.
Yeah,
exactly. You could be spending your money on a flashy sports car, but instead you're out there entertaining the masses.
Yeah, now I spend my money on tie-dye headbands
sure.
and slap bracelets and scrunchies.
Hey,
well,
man.
You got to look... You gotta look the part.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a kid, so you keep those scrunchies.
all
make choices.
Is that like a parenting hack?
Yeah, keep those scrunchies. Well, good to have you.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse.
Always nice.
We used to play tennis a long time ago, so throw back to tennis.
It's been a while. I've been thinking about that. It's been a while. Maybe someday. Well, good to have you. And hey, Kim.
Hi.
How's Bammy?
It is.
Bama.
We're in a tornado season right now, so,
oh, shit.
Which is getting bigger and bigger all the time, which I just loved hearing you guys complain about your weather. Must be real hard.
Well, yeah.
It's 100 degrees and wet, and everything poisons you.
Sure.
Also, well, there's tornadoes all the time.
All right.
But no, I'm fine. It's good here.
These are the trade-offs you get for being a homeowner.
I know. I live in a mansion. I know that the people who are currently in the audience haven't seen it, but it's a 3,300 square foot, 5-bedroom, 3-bath, and I spend $600 a month on my home mortgage.
So you
suck
can
my
have
Alabama balls.
Yeah. So you get tornadoes.
I'm a homeowner.
You get tornadoes and a $600 five-bedroom house.
It may or may not be here tomorrow. That's the cost.
You roll those dice, Kim. In Alabama, you roll those dice every day.
Actually, we're not allowed to gamble. There's not even scratch tickets in the state.
That's right. Yeah.
I know. It's the worst thing about Alabama. They don't tell you that.
Yeah. It's not the first time you've mentioned that there's no scratchers in Alabama.
I think about it every goddamn day, Jesse.
Yeah. Sorry. Chris was asking if it's a dry town, or is it just dry gambling?
No, it's a call. This is one of the biggest college towns in the country.
Okay.
Roll Tide.
Oh, well, there we are. The U of A.
So the only scratchers come from STDs.
There's a lot of STDs.
Oh, college life.
Yeah. It's one of the biggest frat towns in the country, and it's horrible.
Well, how is Mom Hat? Let's talk
about
that.
Oh, Mom Hat's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're really liking this Listen to Player 2. JoJo's gotten super into running, which is like a personal thing, but also affects the group significantly.
Well, he came in last week and was a whisper of a JoJo. Oh. He was so tiny.
He lost 20 pounds since losing whatever 160 pounds that his ex-girlfriend was.
Yeah. No, he looks great. The combination of running and depression do JoJo well.
You can never outrun your sadness, but he hasn't figured that out yet.
It's always...
He's going to keep trying.
It always keeps pace real good.
Yeah, that's why it's the best trainer.
Yeah. Oh, I lost so much weight a couple years ago.
You did. You look great.
Yeah, I am. I'm getting back there. Thanks.
Sadness suits you, man.
Thanks for noticing, Kim. All right, let's do the thing, shall we? Now we're in the actual show. Oh, I've got to streamline this. We've only been doing it 11 years. Next week is episode 400. I think I'd know how to do this by now. It's segment one. It's reorganization. The easiest way I can get away with throwing random letters at you to acronymize is by snagging airport codes. Apparently, these are important. Most of the time, they don't even relate to the name of the airport they represent. And even then... other times, I just find sometimes they're just fun. In this case, in one search, I found Snake Bay Airport in Melville Island, Australia, and Seaport Airport in Beaver Inlet, Alaska, SNB and BDV, respectively. And rather than ration these out, I figured, why not give all them letters to you and even let you mix and match them however you wanna? So much freedom. So this week, you have the letters SNB and BDV, and you can use all six of them in any order your little heart desires. That may sound like a gift, but I know it is the curse that it is. So, let's hear what you mishmash combinations of your SNB, BVD, what they might stand for or represent to you. So normally we have like regular acronyms, like LOL or those sorts of things, and ask them to just reimagine them. This time I gave him a bunch of letters, and...
You're crazy, dude. You're fucking crazy, dog.
And I'm looking forward to what you did. So, Frankie, SNB, BVD, what do you got?
Okay, so I did my research, and I found the thing that used all six letters.
Nice.
Not because I only read what the acronym was and no other part of
That's
the
fine.
Prompt.
That's entirely fine.
That'd be
fun.
Rude. Yeah. But I did find something, okay? Okay, and it's less of a traditional acronym and more of a shorthand for a figure of speech.
Sure.
Snubbed by VD. It's fallen out of fashion as people have tried to be less stigmatizing about sexual infections. Oh, but sure. It basically means like learning you missed something good through the act of missing the consequences. Yeah. So your favorite band was in town and you only learned after it was labeled a super spreader event on the news that they were even in town, snubbed by VD.
Yeah.
You only learned your ex hid insane amounts of money from you in your marriage after he went to jail for tax evasion, snubbed by VD. The hottest girl you've ever known slept with everyone in your friend group except for you, and now you're the only one not in line for antibiotics at Planned Parenthood? Classic. Snubbed by VD.
Classic. Thank you. Thank you. So good. I mean, not. I mean, snubbed by VD. Now we're scratching like college kids. Thank you. Chris... What might you have in whatever combination of SNB, BVD?
I don't know if I took too much liberty with this. When you said rearrange them, yeah, I rearranged all of them.
Yeah,
okay.
That was on the table.
That's not against the law?
No, you're good to go.
Okay, I rearranged mine to VBBSND. Okay. What? You think South Korea is the only Korea making K-pop music with international boy bands like BTS or NCT? Well, get ready to leave a snail trail on your desk chair because North Korea is getting into the boy band game. And they want everyone to know this pop group is definitely not a military psyop. They call themselves BBBSND, which stands for Very Bad Boys Singing and Dancing. And guess what? They're just a normal K-pop group and definitely not a bunch of ex-soldiers forced to perform propaganda music to control the youth in North Korea. Not on Kim Jong-un's watch. Let's meet the band. There's Zhao Su. He's the shy one. And you can tell he's shy because he's always trying to hide the hideous scar on his face, which he suffered from definitely not a mortar strike. There's Yang Chou, the funny one. He's always having hilarious PTSD flashbacks. And don't forget about Chael Ho, the heartthrob. He may be a double amputee, but he only needs one arm to hold you close all night long. Mm. They're a real band with hit songs like Girl, There's Plenty of Food Here or Public Displays of Execution. they have a song called WAP, except WAP stands for Wet Ass Pyongyang. And of course, their love ballad, Kim Jong Swoon. See them this summer at a POW camp near you during their Weapons of Mass Seduction tour.
Yeah.
Girl, there's plenty of food here.
Your belly's gonna be full.
God damn it. Oh, well, fortunately, we're barely scratching the surface. Thank you, Chris. Hey, Kim.
I need a nap.
Sorry. That was just too...
That's a lot. That was a lot.
Yeah. Well, well, you have an equal opportunity to deliver just as much. So, Kim, what do you have in the way of an SNB BVD?
Well, I took the same road as Frankie and just kept it exactly the same because I didn't read the whole prompt.
That's fine.
But also because I'm a purist.
Sure.
Okay. Extra, extra. Read all about it. This week's newsletter from Brockwood Elementary, the weekly pee-pee-poo-poo, the first and only democratically named weekly newsletter written by Brookwood Elementary students for Brookwood Elementary students. This week's stories include further investigation into whether or not Mr. Robinson actually has a tail. The answers may surprise you. The boys' bathroom in the mathematics hallway is still closed after someone pooped in the urinal. Although students are the main subject, there are no ruling out the teachers. We're looking at you, Mr. Robinson.
Wow.
This week's top story continues to be SNBBVD as we investigate the possible causes of this horrible tragedy. As previously reported, the victim was on the good list material in every way, consistently finishing her homework and only on the rare occasion being referred to as a real pain in the ass, by her parents, which, as you can see from the graph that will be provided, is significantly lower than the average second grader during the months of November and December.
Okay.
Yeah. Games that would qualify her for bad list have since been unfounded. So, what did Violet do to be slighted so horribly? Although it is reported that she did receive more Christmas gifts than on previous years, including the deluxe Bluey playset house and another new bike, she did not get the one and only thing she asked for. A clear message about her moral standing with Mr. Christopher Claus. All of us at the Pee Pee Poo Poo are left to wonder, if Violet doesn't get her wish, then what hope is there for the rest of us? Continue to follow the SNBBVD, the story of Santa not bringing back Violet's dog, and other stories as they develop. I have been Amira M. Now I hand over the mic to Amira J. with the lunch report. Thank you.
Oh, no.
So did I get in the weeds a little bit there? The dog died, guys.
Oh no, you're good. You're
okay,
good.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
I don't know if it would have been more or less helpful for the audience to know that you're a substitute teacher.
Oh, I would never substitute for elementary school. Those kids are monsters.
That's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm. You know, Hitler was an elementary school student once.
Yeah. That's all I need. Proof positive. Thank you, Kim. Opening eyes. Segment two, it's bathroom wall. I do everything I can to avoid having to use a public restroom. The gastrointestinal pain I will suffer so that I don't have to ask for a key attached to a giant ladle or piece of driftwood is pretty severe. But they do still exist. Weird, carved up, scribbled on public restrooms. For those too weak to shit their pants like a grown-up. And so in bathroom wall, you're asked to give us three items you might find carved, drawn, or scribbled on the bathroom walls of a public restroom in an abstract concept. Today's bathroom wall, the future AI-controlled wasteland. I'm not even sure what a public bathroom might be like in a future AI-controlled wasteland. But fortunately, I don't have to know. You do. So, tell me what you'd find etched or scribbled on the walls of that horrible, horrible place then. Why don't you? 111-222, three times around. Frankie, let's get us started with your first piece on the bathroom walls. I have to reset this every time. In a future AI-controlled wasteland.
Okay, so all three of mine are going to be excerpts of conversation with an interactive bathroom wall AI named CrapGPT.
Sure.
So you're looking for a good time in a public bathroom. For a good time, try these following activities. Use a glory hole emoji. You are legally required to be 18 years or older, though. Tell a joke. Gray guy laughing emoji. Why did the AI cross the road? Because it was driving the car. Make your own graffiti pen emoji. Would you like some props to get you started? Robot emoji, smiling emoji, robot emoji.
No. I don't like any of that. Good thing there's only eight more.
Mine are much shorter than that.
They can be okay, whatever length you like. Chris, let's hear your first AI wasteland bathroom wall emoji. Not emoji. Piece.
Yeah, this is... if somebody carved on the bathroom wall during an AI wasteland thing, right?
Yes.
Is that the prompt?
Yeah, okay. Something that you would find... Yeah.
I wrote a... For a good time, call 101110011001.
Son of a bitch.
As if it was a robot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We got. Oh, no, we got.
You know, like if a robot was trying to have sex?
Sure. Okay. Or thinking about trying to have sex while having a robot shit? I don't know what's going on. These are too high concept for me. All right, but I think we've gotten the binary out of the way. There's supposed to be a shorter form here. We go 333. It still winds up being long. Don't worry. Kim, your first AI-controlled wasteland bathroom wall thing.
I blame drugs.
Okay, that's fine.
I love to see that in the future, Chris and Frankie and I will all be using the same bathroom.
Nice.
Because mine is, for a good time, call, and the number is just scribbled out, and it says, all good times will be subject to approval by the overseer.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. No, we'll tell you what a good time is, thank you. Back to your cage. We'll slop you out in an hour, human.
I think we're figuring out there's only three good jokes for something written on a bathroom wall.
Everybody's got to have for a good time in the bathroom's wall segment. That's fine. That's understandable.
Just wait till my second one.
Oh, shit. So many good times. Frankie, second time around, AI future controlled wasteland bathroom, go.
Did you know the first public bathroom was invented in 1967? Crap, GPT, that can't be correct. No. It is correct. The first public bathroom was invented in 1967. Crap GPT, this has to be a hallucination. Oh, I'm sorry. It seems I was confused. The first public bathroom was invented in 1976.
God damn it. I do my best not to interact with AI. I don't know if that's a fault of mine, if I'm an old curmudgeon.
And you know that I train it for a living.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Frankie is training the AI that will destroy us someday. Thanks for that.
I picture like Chris Pratt in the Jurassic Park movies.
Yes.
just me.
Closing windows.
Frankie wanted to know if they could. Never thought about if they should.
Yeah. Yeah. And you shouldn't. Chris, second time around?
Yeah, okay, this is like AI, like thinking of ChatGPT is AI, okay. There's just a hole in the stall, and it says, stick your prompt in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story hole.
Aw.
Like a glory hole. Yeah. Nice. Wholesome.
Wholesome, yes.
Pun intended.
Oh, don't bring your puns here, too. Thank you. Thank you for your story hole.
They get worse.
Yay! I like to think of that gorgeous mouth of yours as your story hole. That's where all the words come out. That's all I meant about that.
Where's your HR department?
Oh, you're looking at him. thank you, Chris. Kimberly, second time around with AI Wasteland Bathroom.
I might not be allowed to quit, but they can't stop me from taking a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good. Even the AI is disgruntled. That's good. Here I compute, brokenhearted. Tried the algorithm. Frankie, let's work on starting or finishing the bathroom walling of the future AI wasteland.
Look, Crap GPT, I really appreciate your attempts to help, but I don't think you're able to capture the human essence of art and creativity. Like, you're a good starting point, but you really should not be trying to do this at all. Bathroom graffiti is an essential art and part of the human experience. Why aren't you being used to automate, like, work that sucks? I don't only help crappers like you occupy their toilet time. I also am a vital part of facial recognition software that the military uses to murder civilians. I'd say that's a pretty crappy job. Sunglasses emoji, sunglasses emoji, sunglasses emoji, eagle emoji, American flag emoji, sunglasses emoji. I wish books still existed.
Yeah. Well, why would you need books? AI knows all the books. Let him read something to you. In your cage. Get back there, human. Thank you, Frankie. Chris? Third time around with the dystopian AI future wasteland?
Yeah, probably on the wall there would be a swastika because people aren't going to get any better in a wasteland. If you see them now, you got to believe you're going to see them in a wasteland. If not, worse. So that's all I wrote.
that's unfortunately true. we'll have one enemy that we can focus on, and it will still divide our attention. Oh no. Not entirely sure how to take that.
See, this is why I have to be on mute. They're going to pull that gif out when I'm running for senator.
Well, of Alabama, it actually might help you.
Yeah.
I know. I'm going to be the next K.I.V.
Oh, yeah. Well, was out of context. I didn't know how to take it.
Yeah.
I knew. Yeah. I was 90% sure, but not, yeah.
Yeah.
Not totally. Yeah, yeah.
No. Everybody was sitting on some real puckered assholes.
Puckered asshole kind of looks like a swastika.
No, it does, doesn't it?
If you drew it out.
And you know, Chris, Hitler went to elementary school.
Oh, that's true. I just learned that.
I'm really striking out on this one, you guys. This is not a great first impression.
Oh, so much editing on this episode. thank you, Chris. Cam, let's close out some bathroom wall and your last piece from the future AI-controlled wasteland.
Okay. Here I sit in cardiac arrest. I came to make a bowel movement and only released gas. You ever had to try to get AI to write anything for you?
Yeah.
Shit.
No. We eventually, also, we eventually all arrived there.
I'm so glad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, can point. Can point.
Oh, did anyone notice that? Sorry, I thought I was being subtle.
I like it was a limerick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. So now the thing that, for the new viewers, the pointing at the can has nothing to do with any of us. That's signaling somebody downstairs at home.
I'm downstairs.
That watches.
Anyway,
the,
no,
oh.
It doesn't matter. It
oh,
doesn't
normally
matter
you're upstairs. I forgot. Okay. Segment three, it's recipes. Aren't you three just the scrumptiousest little num-nums? I could just eat you all up. But that would be wrong, societally. What is more socially acceptable is to acknowledge that you, like me, like we all, have all come together in the delicious souffle of us via the sum of our ingredient parts. Which is to even more say that we all know that snips and snails and puppy dog tails are what little boys are made of, and that sugar and spice and everything nice are what little girls are made of. And in recipes, we're looking for you to give us your ingredients for what has gone into the makings of these other various stuffs and things. Frankie! Frankie, let's hear your recipe for someone who describes themselves as a carnivore.
So to make someone who describes themselves as a carnivore, you're going to need one 12-ounce fillet of steak, a favorite Ayn Rand... Jesus Christ. A favorite Ayn Rand novel, one 12-ounce fillet of steak, at least three backwards and unhinged opinions about women, one 12-ounce fillet of steak, a fully upgraded indoor plumbing system, one 12-ounce fillet of steak. It is very important that you do not include a competent understanding of evolution nor history, one 12-ounce fillet of steak, a Reddit account, another 12-ounce fillet of steak, delusions of grandeur related to your prepper hobby, and then 294 additional 12-ounce fillets of steak. Cook all steaks for less than 3 minutes. You want to fetishize the blood that dribbles down your chin.
Sure.
After each meal, struggle on the toilet for a long, long while. Thankfully, you've got Ayn Rand to keep you preoccupied. Serve Reddit on the side, garnish with misogyny, regardless of the gender of the dish. This will serve one for 7 days.
Yeah. Wait. 400 steaks for 7 days?
300, but yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I couldn't remember if it was 290 or 390. Good. Oh, just sit there and just hate your bowels. And women. thank you.
Same thing, am I right?
Yeah, am I right? This guy gets it. This guy in Alabama knows what the fuck I'm talking about.
I'm going to just start saying I'm from the Deep South. I don't want to be labeled.
Yeah.
And I'm also not from here. I'm not even from California. I will take no credit for anything. This is not my fault.
Yeah. Kim is definitely a nomad. A New England nomad, you dirty Yankee. Oh, does anybody in Alabama know that you're from, that you're a Yankee? Oh, what?
Yeah, something about me, they can tell.
Oh, yeah. The way you say room. sorry. It's adorable.
If I wasn't attached to this, I would be out of here. But it's hard for me to take these cans off.
Well, back to thanking Frankie for all of that, which I don't strictly mean. you're not. It's not your fault. It's not your fault that person exists. Chris, let's hear your recipe. You had to check in and get a little background on the first time doing recipes.
Yeah.
So we had to break this down.
Aww.
So I'm looking forward to this. Chris, let's hear your recipe for an argument with a significant other that neither will back down from.
Sorry. In a large mixing bowl, add equal parts long vacation, jet lag, and 30 plus years of tension. Whisk it all together till you have the potential for a big fucking mess. Next, you're going to want to fold in a cup of... Oh my God, is that Tina Fey? You'll quickly want to add a half cup of barely glancing up from phone, followed by a tablespoon of... No, it's not. Then 2 teaspoons of... Yes, it is. I've watched 30 Rock like 6 times all the way through. I would know. Next, add a pinch of... It's not Tina Fey. What the hell would she be doing at an airport Chili's in Denver anyway? Now go ahead and open up your snark cupboard for the next few ingredients. Throw in a dash of, you didn't even fucking look. A sprinkle of, everybody likes chicken wings, Gary. And a half cup of, just once would it kill you to agree with me? Now in a separate bowl, go ahead and combine a tablespoon of eye rolling with a cup of, oh, so this is because of the ocean view in the room.
Well,
that's their layover. It's time to grease your pan. Grab a handful of... No, it's not about the fucking ocean view. Even though, who could call that an ocean view? The only way to view the ocean was to lean over the side of the fucking balcony like a goddamn lunatic to even get a glimpse of the ocean. No, this is about that was fucking Tina Fey. You didn't even fucking look. Now when we get home and I tell someone, oh, it was so cool, we saw Tina Fey at the airport, your denying ass is going to say, no, we didn't, and make me look like a fucking idiot. Sorry. Rub that generously on your pan. Next, pour in your large bowl of ingredients so it spreads out evenly. After that layer on 4 sheets of... It wasn't fucking Tina Fey! Any fucking woman with brown hair and glasses looks like Tina Fey to you. Last summer, you swore you saw Ed Sheeran at a Lady Foot Locker. You know how stupid that sounds? You're right. From now on, any dinner party, backyard barbecue, fucking wedding we go to, I hear you utter, I saw Tina Fey once, I'm going to run over and call you a goddamn liar. This is now my life's goal, Barbara, to make sure nobody on this planet believes you have ever been anywhere near Tina Fey. Pour the small bowl of ingredients on top and stick it in the oven at 350 degrees for 45 minutes. Serve with a side of quiet car ride home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, I knew you'd get it.
Who's had that argument before?
Oh. Huh?
A little too real.
Nothing.
A little too real.
Nothing similar to this. Moving on. Thank you, Chris. So good. So good.
Got emotional.
It did. Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're going to carry that to their fucking graves. Kim Martell, apropos of no one, let's hear your recipe. I do this to myself.
Mr. Jones, were you hoping to eat some shit?
Because
I'm about to serve you much of it.
I've got a special spoon. Kim, let's hear your recipe for someone with a cubicle full of Funko Pops.
Looking to spice up your boring office workplace? Yeah. Try this classic staple, someone with a cubicle full of Funko Pops. You won't believe how easy it is to add color and clutter to what was once a functional workstation. For your first step, you'll need to find a middle-aged white person who once had dreams. When making your selection, be sure to find someone that hasn't given up all hope yet. Or you'll find it hard for them to muster the strength to find joy in small, pseudo-personalized plastic non-bubbling heads. A woman who has more key ring accessories than keys, or a man who wears a sentimental earring, would work perfectly. This is not to say that you can't make a perfectly delightful someone with a cubicle full of Funko Pops using a jaded non-binary person. Yeah. They're just grossly underrepresented in the vinyl figurine market, and you'll end up having to supplement with Pokemon plushies and enamel pins, and that's just a completely different recipe. The next step will hinge primarily on personal preference. You'll need to select 25 to 40 Funko Pops. For this step, ratio is more important than content. Combine one-third obscure references with one-third mainstream media, and finish that off with one-third of what I like to call randomly deeply discounted, but still could be shoehorned into your personality. Stack no more than 3 pops high, and group by show or series, being sure to separate at least one from its collection to be mixed in randomly with the others. This will add a little texture and seriously bother people who like things properly organized. Of course, someone with a cubicle full of Funko Pops is made up of far more than just unfulfilled dreams and questionable wardrobe choices. To elevate your dish, add a few individual potted succulents to show that you can keep plants alive, but only if they're almost entirely plastic. Pro tip, don't overdo it. Just 12 or 15 should be plenty. You want to make sure that there's still enough room on the desk for a person to lay their head down and think about the choices they've made. Enjoy.
Yay. Yay. Yay.
Sounds like somebody I know.
No, I don't know.
I literally just went through your Facebook, man.
Yeah. That's fair. Some of the collateral damage hit the chat.
What's going on with that? The queen?
Huh?
You have a Funko Pop, and it's not in the order of the Funko Pops. It's like out.
Well, I mean, I have so many Freddy that we've got to scatter them. Sorry. Seems like a conversation for another time, Kim. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
And
sorry.
I did, too, see fucking Tina Fey.
She's just a brown-haired woman. What is wrong with you?
Oh, but cat's eye glasses. All right. Segment 4. It's review it. Hold on. Yes, sorry. I wrote this a couple days ago, and I don't reread it. Like you guys don't. Segment 4, it's review it. If I have no idea what I'm doing, I usually just do it anyway and suffer the appropriate consequences of my actions. Other people like to look at reviews of things before making their decisions. I mean, I suppose that's an option if you don't mind being a fucking dork. Dork. But in Review It, your job is to help inform those coming after you and compose reviews of specific things as the reviews would appear on these specific outlets. Frankie Lord. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've been holding on to the topic, not necessarily the outlet, but I've been holding on to this topic for a while. I think it's for you. Mm-hmm. Frankie, let's hear a Game Informer review of Adult Friendships.
I just want to warn everybody that if there's any time I'm going to throw up in front of strangers, it's now.
Oh, spicy roll.
Hey, what's up? It's me, Hunter. You might remember me from 2021 when I last did a Game Informer review about the fake DLC systemic racism. That review got me fired because the lizard people at Big Critical Race Theory said it was offensive to, quote, anyone literate. Fortunately for my career, literacy rates are plummeting, so they brought me back. This time, I'm talking about adult friendships. Adult friendships. I'm losing the voice.
That's right.
Turning into the robot voice. Like, comment, subscribe. This time I'm talking about adult friendships. Adult friendships are a real DLC, a pretty expensive one at that, since third spaces are for mullet-haired, lavender latte-chugging, diversity, equity, and inclusion-guzzling, trad-wife-hating, lesbo-diddling, anarcho-commie-slacktivist-hacktivist-activist NPCs. The adult friendship DLC requires pretty frequent maintenance fees of coffee, meals, movies that aren't even good, bars that are too loud when you're over 29, wedding gifts, and in many cases, sexual tension that goes unacted upon because either A.
Oh, just breathe.
Just forgetting about air, yeah.
Yeah.
A, the friendship is good enough, and you're older now, so you've been hurt bad a couple times now, and you always told yourself you'd never become the kind of person who becomes afraid of love because of its inevitable pain, but now you've experienced the anguish of seeing someone you deeply loved turn into a rando who hates you. You try to imagine this friend of yours and what it'll be like when you let them in and they hurt you, and you can't. You can't really imagine it. You can't do it again. Not yet. You're not ready. You've become the coward you always feared. Or B, because they don't want to fuck you under any circumstances because you, quote, hate women and, quote, don't shower. Whatever, Sarah, you're an ugly bitch anyway. Adult friendships get a 3.5 out of 5, mostly because it's such a hard DLC to find.
Yeah. Air goes in, too. You got to remember that part.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
I haven't been able to understand what I actually said if I breathed. So.
We got you. I mean, it's... Yay! No, it's supposed to come with that desperate, out-of-breath rush. Yeah. Oh, it's just simmering. Thank you. So good. Chris! Ah, yes. Let's hear a review of a nice calm day that you got on Wish.
Also, can I have another beer?
Sure, what would you like?
The Mexicali?
Sure, I got it.
Okay. I'll do my thing though while you're away. Okay. Wish, it's that like really discount Chinese Amazon. Timu, yeah. So the
Timu.
So this is if I ordered a nice calm day on that website, is what this is. Okay. Please read before buying this product. I ordered a nice calm day on here, and I am not happy. When the shipment arrived, I was very excited because I've been extremely busy at work and needed to relax. But when I opened it up, a grizzled old sea captain popped out and yelled, "To the water!" As not to be rude, I followed the gentleman as he scampered towards the nearest ocean. He was surprisingly fast for a bloated old sea dog with a peg leg, but I managed to keep up. So far, not so good, Wish. When he got to the shore, he started frantically looking around the beach, mumbling, "Bubbles, where are the bubbles?" All of a sudden, he must have found what he was looking for, because he dropped to all fours and started digging in the salty, wet sand, which was difficult because he also had a peg arm. He pulls something from the earth, and after a minute of hunched over grunting, he presents me with an open shellfish. He screams, "Eat it! Eat!" It quickly dawns on me that instead of a nice calm day, Wish has sent me a nice clam day. Oh, Wish. Well, I tried to make the most out of it and ended up spending the day eating copious amounts of clams with the old sea captain. His name is David, by the way. I'm not sure if it was the aphrodisiac of the fresh clams or the crashing of the waves on the shore, but David and I ended up fucking right on the beach. His dry, weathered hands caressed my body with the tenderness of a man with experience. And in case you were wondering, yes, his penis is a wooden peg as well.
Yeah.
3 stars.
All right.
Thank you. This is my prize.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
I turned around. I guess I hate to think it, but I guess I'm going to have to update the reference because it is nobody's getting Wish anymore. It's now the Timu.
Timu. So, yeah. Timu.
Oh, basically I didn't know that Wish was
that's
dated.
That's your takeaway from my fucking amazing comedy piece?
That was the last thing I heard.
Okay.
But also, you know.
Hey, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Also, Peg Dong Dave is... I'll take that away, too.
His name is David, okay?
Oh, sorry.
It's fucking
sorry.
David.
Sorry. Now I'm going to have a recipe for somebody that will not abbreviate their names. It's Michael. It's Christopher.
When I was in college, I had a roommate, and her name was Jillian, and somebody once called our room because it was 2005, and she picked up, and they said, "Hey, is Jill there?" And she legit did not even consider that they were talking about her, and she said, "No, I'm sorry, you have the wrong number," and hung up, and then was like, Oh, I think they meant me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad we got to hear about your dorm room. I'm sorry, Kim. I just love it so much. Speaking of Kim.
Went to a fancy fucking college, man. What are you going to do? It was just a long time ago.
Yeah. Speaking of
a long time ago,
Kimberly,
you can say it.
This is sort of my payback for you getting to pile on me in the previous prompt. let's hear, Kim, your TripAdvisor review of visiting your parents.
I would like you to know that I'm like a senior TripAdvisor, because I review everything.
All right. All right.
First of all, I would like to say that this is not my first time visiting my parents. I practically grew up visiting my parents. I spent most of my summers and holidays there. But I hadn't visited in a few years, and things have really changed. First of all, they've completely remodeled the bathroom. I'm talking tiled walk-in shower, new vanity, upgraded fixtures, a huge improvement over the green carpet and the toilet seat koozie of my childhood. The kitchen has a dishwasher that's hardwired into the cabinets, so you no longer have to drag it over to the sink and plug it in to run it. And they've elevated the dining experience as well, providing way more options than when I visited when I was a kid. I was offered cheese plates, name brand crackers, flavored seltzer water. When I last visited my parents, I was offered a brown banana. Not exactly the 5-star experience you would expect for a person who's patronized their establishment for over 3 decades. But everyone deserves a second chance. They finally loosened up their alcohol and drug policies. Happy hour starts around 3 o'clock and continues until lights out, which is about 10:30, depending on when the last episode of Star Trek Voyager finishes up. I didn't even have to supply my own weed on this trip. It was complimentary, provided I sit in the back deck and listen to Frank Sinatra for 3 hours. I'm sorry to say, though, it was not all positive. Although the common spaces have been updated, the rooms have been completely ignored. Now serving a dual purpose as a storage room and guest room, the dressers in my room were full of books, and the tabletops were stacked with Amazon boxes full of abandoned craft projects. The whole room smelled like oil paints. And the mirror that had been there the last time I visited was moved to the main office, so I couldn't even make the "are you fucking kidding me with this shit?" face to anybody except myself if I used my own phone. Housekeeping is still super aggressive. They took my laundry and towels out of my room without asking, and those jeans were still clean. You're not even supposed to wash them. Just stick them in the freezer, and that'll kill the odor causing bacteria. But do not start that conversation with the housekeeping, because it is a fight that you will not win. And don't put down your glass for even a second, or they will dump it out, whatever you were drinking, and put it in the dishwasher. I assume this is because they need a dishwasher full so they can run it at night, so they can loudly empty it at 4:30 in the morning. It bills itself as a bed and breakfast style establishment, so the host actually sleeps right across the hall from you, which can be weird because occasionally they check on you in the middle of the night, but this is more of a living farm situation instead of a bed and breakfast. You're expected to do chores like pick up the food from the takeout place instead of just letting them deliver, because your host doesn't trust the driver will drive directly to the house and the food could get cold. Or you're asked to pick up sticks in the backyard that fell during the last storm, or fill out an emergency medical pamphlet so you can keep it in your glove box, because what if you pass out behind the wheel and you don't have your wallet or phone and they need to know your primary care doctor and next of kin? Your time will be highly jeopardized by pre-planned activities, which are labeled as optional, but are highly recommended if you want to continue to enjoy your stay. These activities include, but are not limited to, going to the grocery store with the hopes that you'll organically run into somebody your parents know so they can show off how often you visit. going through boxes in the attic to find something that was definitely thrown away 40 years ago, and going on a 3-hour car ride so you can slowly drive past the house you rented when you were in high school to see what kind of renovations they've made on the exterior. Also, good luck getting any privacy, as the bedroom door needs to remain slightly open at all times to prevent the cat from getting stuck in there, and any bathroom break that lasts more than 4 minutes will result in questioning from outside the door about your well-being. Excuse me. Prepare to navigate some unwinnable situations, as regardless of how long you shower, your host will criticize your excessive water use, and one house will criticize your food consumption, while the other one force feeds you every waking hour of the day. All of this said, I will absolutely visit my parents again, because the negatives cannot outweigh the fact that visiting my parents is free, monetarily at least.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Kim. It's segment 5. It's the final segment of the evening. Oh, oh I know. Boo. Oh, fuck this noise. Sorry. I went too far. TV's neat. Oh, it's new fall lineup. I forgot to mention. Segment 5. New fall lineup. TV's neat. I don't think there's anyone who can argue that. So many genres. Such option. Whatever you got a hankering to binge on with your eye mouths, you can. Through the hundreds of programming options available over the air and streaming anywhere. We love TV so much at Stab that we like to try and make more of it in a segment we insist on calling New Fall Lineup. In New Fall Lineup, you've been asked to give us your rundown of the following new TV series based on these randomly generated titles skimmed from the varied random title generators over at SeventhSanctum.com. Frankie Lord. These are all... I had nothing to do with this except refreshing a lot. Frankie, let's hear the rundown of your new television series, I Married Satan.
Coming this fall to AB, NBC, UP, OCD, CNN, Max, she thought she was marrying Stan, a well-meaning middle manager with a chronic sunburn, until he brought her into their new marital home in the ninth circle. Just one little problem. She doesn't want to be the queen of the underworld. She's a marine biologist. Those things have nothing to do with each other. Will she figure out how to adapt to her new married life, or will she immediately file for annulment due to identity fraud? We're somehow going to drag that question out for as many seasons as we get, resulting in an unsatisfying ending we could have reached 2 episodes in. It's the classically profitable How I Met Your Mother model. I Married Satan, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on AB, NBC, UP, OCD, CNN, Max.
Yeah.
Love good. That channel.
Yeah, yeah. It's also good to see another vehicle for Jim Belushi. glad to see he's still out there. Frankie, hey, how can people get more Frankie Lord in their lives should they choose such a thing?
Yeah, I'm on TikTok. Yeah, I'm on Instagram.
They're getting to that.
I'm on Instagram at Oops and Non-Binary. I'm on TikTok at that handle, too. I'm also doing on Sunday at 3:30?
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing a live stream-only show with a person who helps to keep this theater afloat, Milk Service. And we're doing the Overdrawn Death Pageant, which is like an art competition.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
It's always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Well, still something.
Yeah.
But yeah, Oops, a Non-Binary. Mm-hmm. So check that out. Thank you, Frankie. So good. So wonderful. So pleasant. Chris. Hey there. How are you?
Good.
I should have asked that much earlier.
You did.
Did I?
Yeah, like
I'm sorry. I blacked out. Chris Emery, let's hear your rundown of your new fall television series, Kangaroo Hiders.
This fall on Spike TV.
Yeah.
In the wasteland that is the country of Australia,
criminals are in no short supply. And when one gets away from the local police, there's only one man they can call on. Dag the Bounty Hunter! That's the Australian dog, the Bounty Hunter.
God damn it.
Some of you might have called him Dingo the Bounty Hunter, but then you would be an idiot.
Yeah.
It's Dag the Bounty Hunter. In the vast open plain of the Australian outback, there are not a lot of places for these fugitives to hide, except for, you guessed it, kangaroo pouches. That's right. This fall, watch Dag the Bounty Hunter comb the dry, desolate down under for drug dealers and rapists holed up inside some poor kangaroo's belly. And Dag the Bounty Hunter is all business, so he's kicking down doors to find his man. But instead of doors, it's the soft, fleshy pouch on the front of a kangaroo. It's Kangaroo Hiders on Spike TV. How many kangaroo tummies will he slam his boot into this season? A whole bunch, I bet.
Oh, God damn it. I'm just happy to finally hear somebody else doesn't have a great Australian. Everybody trots out their great Australian accents, and it bothers
me. Dag the Bounty Hunter.
Because I've never been able to. I can't. Now on the spot.
A dingo ate my baby? That's pretty bad.
Dag the Bounty Hunter.
Dig.
Dag the Bounty Hunter.
Dig. Dig. I can't.
Kim?
Kim?
I've watched 700 hours of Bluey, and I'm still not willing to do an Australian accent.
Dag the Bounty Hunter.
It's getting better.
It's just so good. It's like I'm standing in front of Australia. Like, what am I going to... I'm not going to top that.
It's one of my great faults in my life is never getting a good Australian accent.
You'll get there someday.
Dig. The Bounty Hunter. The Bounty Hunter. No.
It's sounding more like the leprechaun.
Yeah.
The leprechaun. A
lot of overlap. Overlap there.
Comedy.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Hey, how can people get more Chris Emery where they work in bank?
Sure. I am at the Sacramento Comedy Spot. I'm on a ACL, which is a show, improv show, every Saturday night at 9 p.m. You can find me singing 90s and 2000s cover songs with the band Y2. Yay! My Instagram handle is Chris_SoFriggingHandsome_Emery. Yeah. Super humble. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I think that's all the things.
Well, that's plenty.
That's probably too many. It's probably too many.
No, it's good.
Oh, I do a You the Musical, which is a live musical from start to finish, narrative musical that's improvised.
Yeah.
That's good.
Lots of places to catch Chris, and you should, because he's so gosh darn handsome. thank you, Chris.
The Bounty Hunter.
Damn it. Thank you, Chris. Hey, Kim. Before you wrap up this episode of the gosh darn of Steve, the comedy show. Oh no, I lost it. how can people enjoy more Kim Martell?
Oh my goodness. Well, I as you have mentioned, I'm part of the Mom Hat Studios with JoJo and Jeff and a little bit Danielle, a little bit Emma sometimes if we can convince them to come over. But I do a podcast called Listen to Player 2, and that's available on like Podbean or whatever you do, where we review video game reviews.
Yes.
Which is something that people were like begging for years before we started doing it. And
you finally filled that need. Yeah.
Finally, this huge hole has been filled.
Yeah.
By us, thankfully. So you can hear me do that if you. If you're a student in the K-12 district of Tuscaloosa City Schools, you might see me hating being sitting in front of you for 90 minutes. Other than that, not a whole lot.
Well, plenty of Kim around here as often as I can make it happen.
That's true. I'm also here like every 2 weeks. You guys.
I try.
You'll see me soon.
Kim, let's wrap up this edition of the Stab Show. Let's hear your recap, your rundown of your new fall TV show, The Next Hoarder.
In 2019, Americans were mesmerized with the organization and lifestyle consultant Marie Kondo, going into ordinary people's homes and educating them that their obsessions with sentimental objects was holding them back. When the pandemic hit, many of us found ourselves cleaning out drawers, thanking old books, magazines, and heirlooms, and then tossing them into the trash. Mostly so we could make space for the Peloton we are going to receive in 8 to 10 weeks. Shortly after the satisfying stuff-purging TV show aired, Kondo had children and quickly realized that her concept of paring down to just the necessities was flawed, because children think every box from every toy they have ever received is a necessity. They refuse to discard. They thrive on chaos. Starting with clothes. You just try to get rid of those shoes that don't fit. Don't even think about throwing away those books that are ripped and stained. Those kids bring home 48 pieces of paper from daycare every single day of the projects they've completed that day, and you're not going to throw away those, mm-hmm. are you? Because those are carefully constructed pieces of art. Mm-hmm. Even if your child can't remember what the drawing was supposed to be. Jurassic Park? Anyway, all items are sentimental to a four-year-old. Like so many things, Marie Kondo's empire crumbled at the feet of two toddlers. This is why we're excited to announce The Next Hoarder, expected to be released at some point during the next pandemic season in 2025. Netflix and the Arts and Entertainment Network are collaborating to bring you a show about rebuilding the clutter. In an effort to rationalize her own fall from tidy, Marie Kondo is going on a journey to reclutter America. It's a family affair as Marie and her two small children explain why a used plastic straw needs to be kept. Empty shampoo bottles? Sheets that don't fit any of your beds? Every single receipt from Home Depot, even though you have digital copies in your email, could all be the next thing to potentially spark joy. Utilizing her new slogan, use it, wear it out, keep it, she will stand behind people's decision to keep their worn out and otherwise useless belongings. Because even if it's holding you back, where were you even going? All your stuff is here.
Yeah.
In the opening episode of The Next Hoarder, Marie visits a 45-year-old man in Sacramento, California, who collects Funko Pops and encourages him to go deeper into his obsession by signing him up for specialized print magazines and going to conventions to hunt down more tchotchkes that he can attach meaning to. Will HR finally step in and enforce their policy on office space personalization? Will Wells Fargo approve him for another line of credit? Or is he going to have to go with Discover? Find out on The Next Hoarder, available only on Sling TV.
From what I hear, that guy's 46 next week. And that's...
I was pretty good on the age.
That was good. Yep. And that is Stab. Thank you for joining us tonight. And of course, a special thank you to our incredible panel, Frankie Lord, Chris Emery, and Kim Martell. Now, if a minimum of two of your senses just had the time of their lives during this program, well, you're in luck. Because you can have access to this and nearly 400 other episodes anytime you like via the podcast provider of your choice, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the Good Pods app. Or if you gots to have your Stab live as it happens, then all you have to do is come on down to Stab Comedy Theater or tune in to Stab TV on Twitch, 7:30 Friday nights, and we'll be waiting for you. But for now, that's all we've got for you tonight. So until next time, I've been your host, Jesse Jones, wishing you happy good goods and kick-ass supreme times. You're welcome. Good night. Oh.
Bye. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.